And Father in heaven, we do desire that you would have your way in us. And we desire to hear from you. Speak by your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So thank you to the worship team for leading us. It's good to be able to see everyone up front and to have this time of worship together. I invite you, if you have a Bible, to open it to the book of Philippians. Philippians is in the New Testament after, if you get into the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels, and Acts, Romans, two Corinthian letters, and then you'll run into some smaller letters, Galatians first, Ephesians second, and then the book of Philippians. This morning we're going to start a series that will take us the next 8 or so weeks to be able to talk about joy. And a peculiar joy, because the joy of the Lord is a different kind of joy. It's not a happiness based, even though on the slide, if you can see it well, there's a smiley face. Still, joy will bring a sense of happiness to us, but it is not circumstance based. It is not a happiness based. It is a joy that is deeply settled in the Lord. And so this morning we start this series, Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. We're going to be talking about joy in pandemic relationships, where Paul starts in his greeting to the Philippians and the relationships. That's where we're going to start this morning. Back in 2013, the world record was set for the longest line of washed plates that were set in line, totaling 26,213 plates. It lined a running track and it measured 4.25 miles. This record was set in Malaysia with the help of 20,000 hungry Malaysians who ate platefuls of the Malaysian national dish, and they used a single bottle of detergent. There are the plates lined up, and you can imagine, and you could probably guess what that single bottle of liquid detergent was. It was joy. Joy. Now, I've always thought this was rather interesting marketing on behalf of this dishwashing company, those who made it, that you would somehow assemble joy with washing dishes. But somehow they have been able to do this, because Joy brand dishwashing liquid soap is the number one best-selling liquid soap in 31 countries around the world. They have figured out how to bring joy to something that we would not think is joyful, most of us at least, washing the dishes. And yet it illustrates, I believe, at the beginning of this series, a very important point. And that is, I've said it a couple times already, but that we often look at joy and associate it with happiness. When we do that, we make joy based on circumstances. Yet as the Apostle Paul writes the book of Philippians, his circumstances are not good at all. When he writes the book of Philippians, he is imprisoned, chained to a Roman guard, most likely in Rome, at a time when the Emperor Nero was just beginning to persecute Christians, when he was beginning to arrest them and imprison them for their faith in Christ, when he was taking some of those imprisoned Christians and throwing them into the Colosseum for sport as people watched them be torn apart by lions. It was at a time when these Christians would be in the gardens of Nero at night during his parties, and they would be lit on fire to be human torches to light his parties. And yet Paul, writing at this time, is writing a book that almost every other paragraph there you will find the word either rejoice or joy. How in the midst of such trying circumstances, such great persecution, of Paul sitting in prison, can he write a book whose theme is and main idea is joy and rejoicing? Because joy is not circumstantial. Joy is based on, as even he begins his greeting of the letter in
Philippians 1, verses 1 through 2, he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this greeting, he gives us a hint that we'll see as we look into it a little bit later, that it is found that joy is the result of a deeply settled relationship with God through Jesus Christ, in which the grace and the peace of God anchors us, and the Holy Spirit then begins to manifest the fruit, produces the fruit of the Spirit of joy. See, joy transcends happiness, a happiness that is based on circumstances. Joy is based in an unchangeable God and an unchanging relationship with Him. In the last week or two, when people have asked me, well, how are you doing? That's one of those questions that we tend to ask each other more and more these days. How are you doing in the midst of quarantine? And one of the answers, probably the main answer that comes to my mind first is, well, I'm looking forward to moving into the yellow phase, where we're able to start getting out a little bit more, we're able to start having interactions, able to start having relationships with one another. But yet, even as we enter into this yellow phase, the isolation is still going to exist. Because even as we enter into this time, social distancing is still required. We're still going to be 6 feet apart from each other, so there's not going to be handshakes and hugs. We're still going to have to wear these things, these masks, when we're interacting with one another. There still are not going to be large group gatherings, more than 25. There's still going to be this isolation. So how do we have joy in this time? Just because we're moving into it, and I found what the Lord was showing me as I was basing how I was going to find happiness and find some relief based on, well, times are changing. It's a circumstantial kind of joy. And what I've realized is that no matter how much circumstance changes, if I'm not anchored more and more in the love and in the power and the joy of Christ, boy, I don't have much joy that's going to transform me. And so as we go through this series, I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anyone else, because I need to hear these truths that I need to ground myself in Christ. And so Paul starts in relationships, which is where we will start this morning as we talk about joy in pandemic relationships. The Apostle Paul gives us two ways to find joy in pandemic relationships, two practices that he demonstrates. The first is this: give thanks for one another. Give thanks for one another. And in doing so, he gives us two ways to give thanks. The first is give thanks for partnering in God's work. In verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Paul says that he thanks God every time he remembers those Philippians, those ones that he planted that church with first as he invested his life in them. See, joy comes in the midst of relationships when we give thanks to God for one another whenever we come to mind. A lot of times when we've been coming to mind and someone else has come to mind, but boy, I've been frustrated that I haven't been able to see them. I haven't been able to be with them in person. But Paul, sitting in prison, says, I give thanks to God for you every time you come to mind. That's going to develop joy in our hearts and our relationships with one another. Instead of, boy, I really wish, boy, they came to mind. Lord, I give thanks to you for this person, for that person. Even though I can't see them right now, I give thanks to you for them. And why does he give thanks? Verse 5, he gives thanks because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He gives thanks because of their partnership with him in the work of the gospel from the first day that he started the church in Philippi to that very moment several years later of his writing. Friends, I want to say thank you to all of you as a Dorseyville Alliance Church family. I'm grateful for your commitment to continuing to move forward as a church family and continuing to move forward in relationships with others over these last months. I'm grateful for your commitment to continue to study the Word of God together and pray together. I'm grateful for your calling and checking on one another and seeing how you might be able to encourage one another. I'm thankful for your giving to the local church and to the larger Great Commission Fund for Mission so that the gospel can go to the ends of the earth. I'm grateful for your willingness to try new things. And especially in these last couple months, we are not a very tech-savvy church. Let's be honest, for most of us, Zoom is not something that you ever had to do nor ever thought about doing before quarantine. But yet many of you have said, I am willing to do something that I've never done before. I'm willing to learn a new skill, to try something. I'm willing to push through it when there are technological difficulties. Even as we were preparing this morning to film this service, there were technological difficulties that we are still working through. But we've continued to persevere. We continued to try new things. We continued to not give up in the face of difficulty, to learn and to grow and to develop. And so, Dorseyville Alliance Church family, I am thankful and I'm grateful for you in these days because of your partnership in the gospel. That's why you've done all of this. That's why you've learned new things. That's why you've done hard work in a hard world. It's because of the partnership that you have in the gospel. It's because of the partnership that you have in others' lives. You're committed to one another. And for that, I'm grateful. Paul says in verse 6 that it's great evidence of something that should bring us great joy. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Is that good news or what? That the Lord has started a work in your life. The Lord has started a work in the Dorseyville Alliance Church, and you and I are part of it. He started the work of relationships. And if God starts something, he's not like me and he's not like you, that sometimes we start out with lots of zeal and lots of passion and then eventually we fizzle out and may not complete everything we start. But when God starts something, it is as good as done. And a pandemic will never be able to stop it. And so find joy, find encouragement this morning in the fact that God has started a work in your life. God has started a work at the Dorseyville Alliance Church. God has started a work in the relationships that you have, even though you may be isolated still in ways. God has started a work, and if he has started a work, he will complete it. So give thanks. It brings great joy. Give thanks for one another and your partnership in the gospel, but thanks. Give thanks also in your relationships with one another for those loving relationships that you share. Verses 7 and 8, it's right for me, Paul says, to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul's thanksgiving, Paul's joy that he feels on behalf of the Philippians, he says it's right for him to feel this way because he has them in his heart. This is one of the amazing truths about the body of Christ and about the relationships that we have one another because of Jesus that brings us great joy, is that there is an interconnectedness between believers. Whether it's in prison or quarantine, or whether you are in-person meeting, there is an interconnectedness that time and space cannot break. It's the reason Paul says that when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one is sad or burdened, we all are sad or burdened. Because there is an interconnectedness between us. And Paul says, I have you in my heart. Whether it's when we were side by side in the work of the ministry, sharing life together, or whether it's here as I'm writing to you in prison, there's an interconnectedness. There is a joy in loving relationships. Because of Christ, there is an interconnectedness in our hearts. And this interconnectedness, he says, leads us to long for one another with the affection of Christ Jesus when we're not together. Paul says he longs for the Philippians with the affections of Christ Jesus. having them in his heart, this relational connection together in Christ, produces a longing to be with each other when we're not with each other. And that longing grows deeper. And when we are able to meet together, it allows us to have even greater joy. It makes those reunions even sweeter. It's the whole thing of absence makes the heart grow fonder. Of that connection, when you are not with each other, if we lean into it with thanksgiving, it develops a joy, it develops an even deeper affection for one another that leads us to when we are together, we will find our relationships even more loving, even stronger, and our partnership together in faith and for the sake of the gospel will be even better on the other side than it was before. And we can give thanks. We can give thanks to God for that. As we give thanks, joy will be stirred up in our hearts. The Apostle Paul gives thanks for the Philippians. So let us together give thanks for one another, even when we're together and when we're not able to be together. Let's give thanks for one another, for the partnering together in God's work, and for the loving relationships we share. But Paul also does something else in relationships that will help us find joy in pandemic relationships, and that is that we are able to pray for growth for one another. Pray for growth for one another. Paul prays in verses 9 through 11 for four things. Four things that picture growth, and we can kind of picture this as a tree or a plant grows. Different ways, different parts of a plant or a tree as it grows. In verses 9 through 11, it says this, and then we'll break it down one by one. He says, and this is my prayer. As he goes back, he said in verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. And he says, verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. First of the four things that he prays, and this is kind of like the roots of the plant or the tree, and that is for love to abound. For love to abound. Love is like the root system. And he prays that love would abound in knowledge. That is the information, that is the understanding of the quality and the characteristics of God's love. And he prays also that their love would grow not only in knowledge, but in depth of insight, how much they experience it, how much they know, and how deep they go in the reality of the love of God. If you're in Philippians, just turn back a page or two to Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays for the Ephesians something very similar that he prays for the Philippians. In Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19, he prays this. He says, as he's praying that they would be filled with the Spirit in their inner being, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God in Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul is praying that they would know how high and how deep and how long and how wide is the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord for them. I view it somewhat like a funnel. And if you look at through this small end, and you look, all I see is straight to the back of the room. I see a little bit, but I can't see any way left or right. All I see is straight. And that's the way it is when we come into the knowledge of the love of God. We see the love of God. We see that God loves us, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we see the love of God. And we get this knowledge, but it's very narrow focused. But the more that we grow in our understanding, the depth of insight, of understanding how high and how deep and how wide and how long is the love of Christ for us, all of a sudden, as we would start to come out this side, we would begin to see that it's not just this narrow focused love, but it's a love that the farther we come out in the funnel, the more we realize, and we can look left and right, and we can see that the love of God expands high and wide. And the farther out we go, we see it expand wider, and we see it expand higher. And if we were to go in an infinite line this way and this way, as we journey more and more in knowledge and depth of insight in the love of God, we find that it's not just this narrow focused thing that we thought we knew the love of God. But as we get out into it, we find that it is this inexhaustible resource, this inexhaustible well of love that for all eternity, we will never come to the end of knowing the love of God for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's some incredible love. For you and I, when we love each other, a lot of times it's just this narrow focus, and we may grow a little bit in our love for one another and it may expand. But God, his love for us is a never ending. And so Paul is praying for the Philippians. And this is what I encourage us to pray for ourselves and for one another, that we would grow in our depth of insight, in our knowledge and our depth of insight, that it would grow and grow and grow. Because the more we understand how vast the love of Christ is, the more our roots sink deep. And the more our roots sink deep, the more joy fills up in our hearts. So pray for one another for love to abound in knowledge and in depth of insight. He continues in praying back in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says this, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. The second thing we can pray for one another is we can pray for discerning what is best. Discerning what is best is kind of like the trunk. Discernment is the trunk of the tree. Discernment puts what is being learned under scrutiny to see if it is true. Discernment helps the trunk grow straight up. If we are not discerning what is true, if we are beginning to believe lies, or we are not living and understanding the truth of God, we will become more bent. And the more we become bent, if you ever see a tree that's bent, it's not going to be able to be a healthy tree. The branches they might grow this way, but the more they come to the ground, they're going to bury into the ground, they're going to be unhealthy on this side. That trunk needs to grow straight up. And so we grow in discernment of what is best. Discernment, according to the truth of God's word, helps us to grow straight, helps us to grow tall, so that we're not bent by lies or deception. So pray for one another that we would be able to discern what is best out of the rooting that comes from the love of Christ. Third, pray for one another for purity and for blamelessness. These are those branches that grow out from truth. Out of truth affects the quality of our living, the health of our living. When we're living according to truth, love, truth, purity all come together, and those branches of holiness begin to fan out in our lives. Purity becomes the way that we are marked by living. Blamelessness. People will look at our lives and they will say, they're not a perfect person, but I see a lot of good in their lives because the branches of their lives are flowing out with purity and with blamelessness. From a root system of love abounding to discerning what is best to being able to have purity and blamelessness growing out as the branches. So that verse 11 can take place. So that we would have and be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness. This leads ultimately to the fruit of righteousness, one of which is deep, deep joy. What is this fruit? What does this joy look like? All we have to do is look at the life of Jesus. Because he is the model, and he is the one by whom it takes place. Paul says that in verse 11, as we come to an end, that we are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. A lot of times when we talk about joy, when we talk about peace, when we talk about love, we talk about just love more. Have more peace. Be more joyful. Have more self-control. Have more gentleness. Have more kindness. Have more, have more, have more. And what unintentionally we are saying is, do this. Friends, we are never expected to do this because on our own we are unable to do it in a life-transforming way. Paul makes it very clear that we are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. You and I were never intended to have to be joyful. You and I are simply asked to surrender to the work of Christ in our lives by His Spirit. And as we are rooted and established in His love, as we seek to discern the truth of what is best and live according to it, as we, these things are going to naturally, purity and blamelessness and then fruit of righteousness is going to be the result of allowing the love of God so powerfully and the joy of Christ to so powerfully fill us that these things become the fruit of our lives. Not because I'm doing it, but because He's living His life through me. I really love Dr. A.B. Simpson's perspective on this and calling it the Christ life. It's not us trying to be like Christ. It is us dying to self, anchoring ourselves in the love and in the presence of Jesus so that He lives His life through us. And as He lives His life through us, this fruit takes place. And it's all for, Paul concludes, to the glory and praise of God. Not for my glory, but for His. This is a Christ-centered joy that comes by being rooted in love, discerning what is best, having purity and blamelessness come from it, so that the fruit of righteousness takes place. And so for each one of us, that we would be praying that this would take place for us, but that we would also be praying for one another, despite how much we get to spend time with each other face to face, in the midst of it, that we would pray for one another, that growth in these areas would take place. Giving thanks for one another increases joy, because, and praying for one another increases joy, because it leverages the energy of disappointment and frustration of not being together. Paul had a choice. Paul could have sat in that prison cell, chained to a Roman guard, unsure of what his future held, and been like, God, what are you doing? God, I'm angry. God, I wish I was out of here. God, I don't understand why I'm not out preaching the gospel. God, I want to be with the Philippians. I want to be with them. I don't like this. He could have done that. He could have written a whole letter just venting. But what does he do? He writes a letter of joy and rejoicing, and he begins with, I can't see you right now, and I'm not with you the way I want to be with you, but I'm thankful for you, and I'm praying for you. He turns all that energy of disappointment and frustration, and he leverages it in a way of thanksgiving and prayer on behalf of the Philippians. We may not get everything we want in these relational times, but we can leverage our frustration, our disappointment, so that these relationships grow as we look to care for one another, giving thanks and praying for one another in Christ. My mom told a story when I went to college. I'm the oldest in my family, so I was the first one out of the house. And so with every parent, from what I hear, when that happens, it's a whole new world, and you have to try to figure out, how do I adjust to life when I've had these children in my family? What do I do as they start to spread their wings and go? And one of her best friends, who had a daughter who was older than I was, gave her this piece of advice. Every time you are sad, every time you are disappointed, every time you're filled with grief, every time you don't know what to do and you want to be with Mark, go into his room and sit on his bed and give thanks to the Lord for him and pray for him. And my mom did that, and she said that made so much difference in that allowing there to be that relational break of me going off to the next phase of my life. And friends, that's what Paul is doing here, and that's what he's encouraging us to do. To, instead of be frustrated by it, it's okay to be sad about it, but instead of be frustrated and pout about it, to be able to turn all that relational frustration and leverage it into, Lord, I am so thankful for this person and that person and for their partnership in the gospel. I'm so thankful for the love that we share together. and I pray for them. I pray that their love may abound more and more. I pray that they would be able to discern what is best. I pray that purity and blamelessness would mark their lives. And I pray that the fruit of righteousness through Christ for the glory of God would be evident in their life more and more. So as we finish, the worship team would come to lead us in a moment in a closing song. Can we just pray? I want you to, and us together, to take a moment and to follow that model for a moment and to pray for one another, even though we may not be together, to pray for one another and to give thanks for one another. I'll lead us. Let's go into this time of looking to the Lord on behalf of others, allowing joy to develop in our relationships together. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks to you. For the relationships that you have blessed us with. And so take a moment to give thanks to the Lord for some of those specific people who you give thanks for their partnership in the gospel with you, and also for the loving relationships that you share. Give thanks to the Lord. And Father, I ask too that as we come to prayer, that you would bless those that we love. And so take a few moments, pray for these that you are thankful for. Pray that their love, the love of God, that they would grow and it would abound more and more in Christ. Pray that they would be able to discern what is best and that they would be growing strong and they would be growing straight in truth. Pray that the branches of their lives of purity and blamelessness would begin to extend in greater and greater ways in the way that they live. And pray that the life of Christ through them would produce the fruit of righteousness. And Father, for these things that we know you will do because you are a God who finishes what you start, we give you glory and thanks and praise. And I pray, Father, that as we give thanks and as we pray for one another, that you would increase our joy in the relationships that we have. And as we begin to meet together more, that the fruit of joy would be seen and love would grow. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we enter into our final song of worship together this morning, I just want to emphasize some of the words that we'll be singing. It says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. So even just as Pastor Mark was explaining, it's not that, you know, we are trying to be holy and pure on our own, but rather we are surrendering to God our lives, and he is the one who does the preparation and the changing within our hearts. And so as we sing these words together, I just encourage you within your own homes to just close your eyes and offer these words up as a prayer to the Lord this morning. Prepare me to be a sanctuary.
rather be. There's no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. So set a fire down in my soul that it can't contain, that it can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that it can't contain, that it can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. There's no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be.
So as you offer yourselves to the Lord, as we together as a church family offer ourselves to the Lord, may the Spirit of God set us on fire, but may we also be a sanctuary through which the life of Christ by His Spirit flows. May you be blessed with a greater abundance of the love of God. May you grow in knowledge and depth of insight of His love. May you be able to discern what is best by the truth of God. May you grow in your purity and blamelessness, not because you've tried harder, but because Jesus has more of you to live through. And may the fruit of righteousness be seen by a world in need of joy. May the love of the Father be seen by that world as well. And may the glory of God extend through your life, for He is worthy. You are sent once. May your relational joy grow together, even as we gather together more. May your relational joy grow until the day we are able to see each other face to face. Go in His peace and in His joy. Amen.